the law from Zion and the word from Jerusalem. This is a verse that I'm reading on the radio right at the present time, and I'll be explaining some things this morning that perhaps I won't get into on the radio to any great extent. And in fact, as you realize on the radio broadcast, sometimes there are some things that I can't say. Sometimes I have to take into consideration that many of my listeners on the radio are fairly new people as far as the identity is concerned, and they have to consider these things in the light of what they know. So I'll be talking about some things here this morning that may be a little deep for people on the radio, and I'm not attempting to say, well, look, now Emory knows a lot more than they do, so I can't tell them everything Emory knows. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot more in this Bible than most of us know, and we'll try and pass on as best as we can. And I want to explain what I think will happen when this prophecy is fulfilled, that the law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So turn with me to Isaiah 2, and we'll read some of this first, these actual prophecies, and then we'll go into some of the other prophets and see if we can see this time approaching and actually what it means. Isaiah 2, starting in verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days, and so it makes it very plain immediately, this is an end time or last day prophecy, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And any people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now again, wherever this is, it's obvious, it's somewhere on the earth, and at least representative people of all the nations are going to go up there and ask to be taught the ways of the Lord. And then as the prophet goes on, he says, For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Turn over to Micah 4, because Micah gives a prophecy that is identical, at least for three verses. And then the rest of it is similar, of course, showing at the same time. He repeats, practically, word for word, in the first two verses here, what Isaiah said. Starting out in the first verse, but in the last days, and so on. And then in verse 2 he says, And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So he's talking about the same prophecy. Now, among other things, in verse 7 he says, And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. So Micah makes it doubly plain that whatever this is a time when God will reign in Zion, and he will reign there forever. So the time that he's talking about, obviously, is in the last days. God will be reigning in Mount Zion, and that will continue forever. So we would assume that this would mean this is at least the beginning of the kingdom, and that where God will reign is on Mount Zion, of course. Now, as I mentioned, some of these things that you're going to hear this morning, you'll hear on the radio broadcast during the week. And you'll also hear some other things that you won't hear this morning. But some of these I wanted to tell you now so that you'll have a little better understanding of what some of us will be doing and where we'll be when we're in the nation's capital. Verse 8, Micah goes on. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, I've read this many, many times, and I know some of the rest of you also have, and I had always assumed, or thought at least, that he was talking about the same thing when he talked about dominion and kingdom. But you'll notice he says that the dominion will come to Zion, and the kingdom will come to Jerusalem. And I'm going to show you that there's a slight difference there, and it's very important in what we are doing as far as this ministry is concerned. Because he said, he's talking of the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, under thee shall it come, what will come? The first dominion. And then he goes on and says, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, we'll go on here and read a little more in this and then go to some of the other prophets. And then he goes right on and asks the question, "Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail." Now, here's the same prophet talking about a time when God would rule in Zion, when this would be henceforth forever, and then he stops and says, "Well, now, what's going on here? There's something that's wrong. You seem to be in pain, no counselors," and so on. Now, he is talking to one of these places, either Zion or Jerusalem, and he identifies which one in the next verse. "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion." So these words that we read in verse 9 about no counselor, no king, pains as a woman in travail, apparently are in Zion, but not necessarily in Jerusalem. Now, I know to a great extent, in many of the prophecies, we usually think of these words as being practically interchangeable. But he's talking to Zion. "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon." So here he is talking about this time when God will rule in Zion, and then he turns right around and indicates that Zion is in great and terrible trouble, and then he says she's even going to go to Babylon. "There shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies." And then as we go through these last verses, you'll notice that every verse here refers to Zion, and he does not mention Jerusalem again at all in these verses. And I think we'll read the rest of them, and we'll go back and see what these are. Verse 11, "Now also, many nations are gathered against thee that say, Let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion." And you notice he always says Zion here now. He doesn't. He's talked about Jerusalem back there in the first part of it, and now he continually talks about Zion. "For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth." All right, let's go back into the prophets here and see if we can find out this little difference between Zion and Jerusalem. Turn all the way back to 2 Samuel, which is actually one of the books of history out of the Scripture. And this is 2 Samuel 5. And this, of course, is talking about the beginning of David's reign. And in verse 4, it says in 2 Samuel 5, "David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah." So you see, we have a division in David's reign. He first reigned 7 years and 6 months in the city of Hebron, and then later he took Jerusalem. In other words, he did not rule over Jerusalem during the first part of his reign. And then we go on, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem under the Jebusites." And for those who don't know, you'll recall in the Scripture that the original name of Jerusalem was Jebus, because it was occupied by the Jebusites, and it was not called Jerusalem until after Israel drove out the Jebusites. Then it was called Jerusalem. "But he went up to this place, to Jerusalem under the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking that David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David." Now physically, Zion was right outside of Jerusalem on a hill, and it was called the Hill of Zion. And apparently, David took this first, and this is where he established his rulership over all Israel, was in Zion, and it's called in the Bible the City of David. "And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites," and remember they were one of the tribes of the Canaanites, "and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the lame and the blind shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David, and David built round about from Milo and inward. And then as we read on here, we find that David established his kingdom after he took the stronghold of Zion. Now let's turn to chapter 8. And remember, he originally was ruling over part of Israel in Hebron until the time he actually took control of the city of Zion, or the height of Zion, then he ruled all of it. In 2 Samuel 8, and after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Methegamma out of the hand of the Philistines, and he smote Moab, and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two line measures he put to death, and with one full line to keep a line and alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. Now this is the story, as you read on in here, this is what David did after he took Zion. And he did primarily two things, and we'll read just a few verses in here to show you, and then I'll show you the two things that David did out of Zion. In verse 3 it says, David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. Verse 6, he says, David put garrisons in Syria and Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David. In verse 14, and he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. In verse 15, and David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. In other words, David's reign can literally be described in two things. Number one, he fought and defeated all of Israel's enemies. And number two, he executed judgment and justice in Israel. And that would mean that he put God's laws, statutes, and judgments in the land of Israel. So he did two things. He destroyed the enemies of Israel, and he put the law out of Zion. In other words, David saw that the law went forth out of Zion. Now let's go to one of the prophets again, Zechariah. Second prophet from the end of the Old Testament. Now that is history, and you know that David is actually a type of Christ and a type of the kingdom. And as I say, we just wanted to show this history to show you that there was titular rulership over Israel, but not complete until he took Zion. Until he controlled the city of Zion. Zechariah 1. And these are prophecies. Verse 14. So the Lord, angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies, my house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity, the margin says good, shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and he shall yet choose Jerusalem. Now, ordinarily, you know these prophecies are used to say, yes, God is taking his chosen people back to Jerusalem, and he's going to build that city. But just read the description here that Zechariah was giving. First of all, as he describes Jerusalem, he says, my cities, through prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad, indicating that there was something a lot more than this little old area of Palestine that would be encompassed by what we would know as Jerusalem. And he also says he'd comfort and choose it. Now, to show you that he's not talking about just that little old city, read right on in chapter 2, and this is still Zechariah seeing this vision. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Now, first of all, the angel was going to measure it. Secondly, it was going to be towns, and that's plural. And that's what we read in the first chapter, that God said his cities, plural, would yet be spread abroad. And they're all called collectively Jerusalem. Now, to show you that this has something to do, and there's another place in the Bible where an angel also measures a city, turn with me to Revelation 21. And would to God that our people would begin to try to understand the book of Revelation by understanding the law and the prophets. Do you remember several times Christ told the people, he told the scribes and the Pharisees, and he told them through a parable of the rich man and Lazarus, if you will not believe Moses and the prophets, you will not believe even though one came to you from the dead. And he told them in John 5, if they wouldn't believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe me. And I believe what Christ was saying, if you don't understand Moses and the prophets, you won't understand anything in the New Testament that talks about me, about Jesus Christ. So now we just read about an angel measuring the city of Jerusalem in prophecy. Now let's turn over to Revelation, which actually is a prophecy too, but it's in the New Testament. In Revelation 21, I read this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then he goes on and gives all this description about the New Jerusalem, which in verse 9, the angel comes to John and says, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then John says, he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. In other words, we find in Revelation 21 that New Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb, the bride of Christ. How many of you have you attended churches where all of your life they tell you that the church is the bride? Great, huge denominations have been built up talking about how Christ is going to come to snatch his bride off the earth. And they say, oh, that's the church, the body of born-again believers. Well, here John saw the city of New Jerusalem, which was called the Bride of the Lamb, and in verse 12 it says on the gates that it would have the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. In other words, Israel, called New Jerusalem in prophecy at the end time, is the bride of Christ. Now, here's a similarity with Zechariah. In verse 15, I read this. This is the angel that was talking with John. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. In other words, the angel that talked with John measured Jerusalem, the same angel that talked with Zechariah that also measured Jerusalem. What were they talking about? They were talking about the same place, the 12 tribes of Israel, which are called New Jerusalem, at the end of the age. Now notice, I didn't say they were called Zion. There's a difference, and I'm going to show you the difference between Zion and Jerusalem. So Zechariah was talking of the New Jerusalem that John was talking about in Revelation 21. All right, now let's go back to Micah, where we were reading about the Lord's house being established in the top of the mountains. And he was talking about daughter of Zion, and the kingdom was to come to the daughter of Jerusalem. And remember we read in here that one of these, and he didn't say, now remember, he did not say that Jerusalem was going to Babylon. He did say that Zion, or the daughter of Zion, and the daughter of Zion is usually indicated as meaning in time the ruling place of Israel's government, as we'll show you. We read in verse 10 of Micah 4, a daughter of Zion, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. Or remember, we were reading out of Zechariah. In Zechariah 2, you don't have to turn back to all of these, but just you might want to write them down or mark them. We were reading about Zechariah with the angel measuring Jerusalem, and then in verse 7 he says, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. So here Zechariah also same as Micah sees that Zion is with Babylon, or dwells with Babylon. So he identifies it the same as Micah did. Now you know enough from the scripture, most of you people, to know that Babylon indicates in this end time world system is economic control, it is political control, and it is also religious control. In other words, this Zion that we're talking about here in Micah and Zechariah is going to be under or with the economic, political, and religious control that rules all the world. Babylon is described in Revelation 17 as being that great city which ruleth over all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, I want you to think with me as I ask you a few questions about your great nation, the United States of America. I know that many people say, well, the communists are in this and they're in that, and they control this and they control this and that and so on. But where is the control of Babylon most complete? Is it in Tempe, or is it in Phoenix, or Omaha, or Minneapolis? Where is it? No, it's in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., the city of David, the Zion of Bible prophecy, the city where the rule comes out over Jerusalem. And you notice in each case here, these men talked about the word of the Lord or the law of the Lord coming from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, it is interesting that at the same time, when we recognize that financial, religious, and political Babylon controls practically everything in the nation, did you realize that the word of the Lord is still going out from the nation all over the world? The word of the Lord is going out by missionaries, and I think the American Bible Institute is still publishing Bibles by the millions of copies. They're going out to every nation in the world. It's still the best-selling book in the world. The word of the Lord is going out from the nation of Israel. At the same time, the city that has rule over Israel is actually with Babylon. Now, you can understand why I believe that we are actually in the time of Micah's prophecy and Zechariah's prophecy, where the city of Zion, the stronghold of David, the place where the rule came out over all Israel, is actually dwelling with Babylon. I read in yesterday's paper that, the day before, that this Sunday in the White House, some rabbi is going to conduct the church services, and they're going to sing songs about Jesus. Now, if that isn't ecclesiastical Babylon, I don't know what is. In other words, they'll use the name of Christ in a song while they listen to a proponent of the world's most vicious religion preach a sermon, and he is a man of Antichrist. Yes, Washington, D.C. is probably the most infiltrated and controlled city in all the world as far as Babylon is concerned. And remember what we read here about in Micah 9, he says, why dost thou cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? In other words, the true rulership or kingship over Israel is not in Zion. It is not in Washington, D.C. But still, at the same time, the word of the Lord is still coming out of Jerusalem, the nations and people, cities and towns and villages, multiplied millions of people of Israel. And I have a list here. I think I'll run down this list rather quickly for any of my listeners who might think that most of the oppression may be coming from some local area or something. And I just wrote these out in a few minutes. Where is this coming from? And you stop and think of where these things are coming from. The removing of the Bible from schools. The stopping of the prayer in schools, regulating of industry, allowing the pornography. Who casts out the laws where the local people are starting to stop it, and who throws aside the laws? Washington, D.C., is that you follow me? Who removes punishment from crime? Who's protecting the communists? Who is killing our sons in foreign wars? Who is aiding enemy nations? Who is disarming our military? Who is preventing improved medical care? And the good doctor knows that. Both of you men know that. That the people that sit in the medical offices in Washington, D.C. are the ones that hold down new medical practices that would be effective from coming out to the people. Who is forcing race integration? Who is destroying our educational system? Who is stopping free speech on radio? And so on and so on and so on. Well, it's happening in Zion. Now, I know many of us for some time used to think that Zion and Jerusalem were interchangeable. But I think there are two separate prophecies. One is about the ruling city called Zion, and the other one is about Jerusalem, which is actually the nation of Israel, or the people of Israel. Now, in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Micah, it says, "Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion." Now, I think this means spying, but I also think it means control. If Babylon wants to control all of America, where do they want their people to be? In the ruling city of the nation. And from there, they can control all of this area. I have a newspaper in front of me, which I should take the time to read. Perhaps many of you have read it. Perhaps it wasn't in newspapers where the people will be receiving these tapes. This is in the Phoenix Gazette, March 2nd. The headline is "Kissinger Called Second in Power." And I believe this newspaper article gives an example of who rules the government of the United States. Senator Stuart Symington was making a complaint about not being able to get Kissinger to come and testify before any Senate committee. He has refused to come. So Symington said, quote, "Kissinger emerges as clearly the most powerful man in the Nixon administration next to the president himself. He complained that Kissinger refuses to appear before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, even in closed sessions." A little later on, it gives the information in here about Kissinger. And listen to this. Now, Kissinger, for those who don't know it, is a Jew. He is a foreign-born Jew, and he holds these positions in the national city, the ruling city of America. Kissinger is chairman of the six groups under the Security Council, the verification panel which monitors the SALT talks, and that SALT is for disarmament talks, the Vietnam Special Studies, Washington Special Action and Senior Review Groups, which deal with critical issues across the board, the 40 Committee, named for a Nixon directive with that number which handles the covert intelligence effort, and the Defense Program Review Committee. In other words, he's in charge of disarmament, he's in charge of the Vietnam War, he's in charge of all covert intelligence, and he's in charge of our defense program, chairman of those committees. Then there are the six interdepartmental groups, which deal with world regions, each under an assistant secretary of state. In other words, the world is divided up into six regions under this section, and each man has a region of the world that he's supposed to take care of, and Kissinger is the overall chairman of those six groups. In addition, Symington said, Kissinger figures out all the answers to presidential news conferences. Now just imagine, a foreign-born Jew of the religion of the Antichrist, of the group of people who have done more to destroy the Christian religion than any other people upon the face of the earth, and he runs the United States of America from the White House, where? In Zion which dwelleth with Babylon. You can understand why these men, and praise the Lord, you'll notice, Micah did not say that Jerusalem was under control of Babylon. He said Zion was. Let's read on in verse 12. Praise the Lord as we read this. "But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth." And Zechariah again, and I'm using these for verification, Zechariah 2 and verse 10, I read this, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." This is after Zechariah got through with this idea that Zion dwelt with Babylon. It says the Lord is going to come and dwell in Zion. "And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and this land is God's holy land," in spite of what these ministers tell us about old Palestine. and shall choose Jerusalem again. That's what we read before. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Yes, these things are actually happening in this nation, and these men saw these many, many generations ago, centuries ago. In fact, over 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago or so. The next chapter, and I should read just a little more here, because I'll have enough time, I think, to show you what's going to happen in this city of Zion, and one of the reasons why I think it's so important that men go there with the Word of God. In the next chapter, Zechariah sees a vision. You can read all of it sometime, but it's a vision of Joshua, and it's a vision of the end of the age. In verse 9, he says this, "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." And this is a prophecy of this same nation that Zechariah is talking about in chapter 1 and 2. "I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." And again, to prove to you that he's talking about the same thing that Micah is, back in Micah 4, after he got through talking about the law from Zion and the word from Jerusalem, in verse 4 he says, "They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." In other words, Micah 4 and Zechariah's prophecy and Revelation 21 and Isaiah 2 are all about the same time and the same place, the city of Zion that rules over the nation of Jerusalem. And, of course, it just precedes the kingdom. Now, turn with me back to Joel. And I'm going to show you, I believe I can show you, as we've already started here, that I believe from these prophecies that the Lord God Almighty is going to clean out Washington, D.C. as the first city that is cleaned out in America. Now, some of you may not have thought of that before, but let's stop and think about this a moment. How in the world are you going to clean up America until God cleans up Washington, D.C.? And that's why these men spent so much time talking about Zion with Babylon and God coming to dwell in Zion. In Joel 2, in verse 1, this is an order. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy nation. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." You notice, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy nation." We have men who are spending multiplied tens of millions of dollars fighting communism, and you know there's one thing they don't do. They don't go to Washington, D.C. and tell those men, "Thus saith the Lord." Have you ever thought about that? They broadcast all over this nation. They distribute literature by the millions of copies to the people, and they do not go and show the utter depravity and control in Washington, D.C. And they won't go there with the Word of God. They'll go to every other city in this nation except the one that God says is most important, the ruling city. All right, Joel also said in verse 15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly." And I believe, again, it means blow the trumpet in the nation's capital. And this is where this has to be done. And you know that he gave the prayer in there that they were to pray. Now, in the third chapter of Joel is the story of the great battle at the end of the age. And then, verse 16, he says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." Where is God's voice and roar and power going to come from? From Zion, from the ruling city over the nations of Israel. Verse 17, "So shall you know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore." When will Jerusalem be holy? When God dwells in Zion. That's what he said. You're not going to get a holy nation and leave that cesspool in control of the nation's capital. No, he said, when God dwelleth in Zion, then shall Jerusalem be holy. And then he adds this, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Turn with me to Obadiah. Obadiah is just before Jonah and just after Amos. Many of you are quite familiar with this short chapter. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. And this is a story of Edom, the destruction of Edom. And listen to where it starts. Verse 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken. And where did he say it would start? Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. What is Mount Zion? Mount Zion was the stronghold of David, the city of David, the place where David first established rule over all of Israel. Now, I know that you can use the word Zion, as I say, to some extent, interchangeably with the nation. But I believe when you get down to specifics, that Zion is exactly today what it was in the time of David. It is the ruling city over the great regathered nation of Israel. In verse 21, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Brother, sister, the word of the Lord is going to have to go to Mount Zion to tell God's true servants, and there are a lot of them there, a lot of good men in Washington, D.C., a lot of good men, and they don't know any more what to do than most of the people do out here on the streets, until they get the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord tells me that when the word of the Lord gets in Zion, God will dwell there, and he's going to remove Esau completely out of Zion and the nation of Israel. What would happen if those people were taken out of Washington, D.C.? Just stop and imagine what would happen in this nation. All right, let's close in Micah 4. Because I want you to just visualize the day that will come and that will have to come in order to fulfill this prophecy that says, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Brother, sister, if God's law came out of Washington, D.C., this nation would be converted and turned to the Lord in a matter of days or weeks or months. I don't know how long it'll take. A very short time. And if God comes and rises upon Mount Zion, delivers that city from Babylon, this nation will turn to the Lord in a matter of a very short time, and then can be fulfilled. The word of the Lord will go from Jerusalem all over this world. Brother, sister, that's the gospel of the kingdom. And it has to start in the city of David, the ruling city over the great nation of Jerusalem, God's holy Israel people.